So, here we are back for another episode of See to Your Pants. I'm your host, Jay from Why Not. With me, as always, is the lovely Mistress Kai.
Hello, hello.
Hey, it's good to see you. And
good to
hear
see you.
You
too.
You know, it's funny. We have a great guest today who I'm going to get to in just a second. But I just got to get this out of the way because, you know, I think you're kind of going through some similar shit as me. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's time of the year, but, you know, and I believe that things happen in threes or, I don't know, maybe they happen in 33s. So, you know, dealing with like a lot of shit at once, I'm in a foul mood. So I'm more or less counting on our guest today to pick up my spirits and you as well. So there's no pressure there.
No pressure.
Oh, no. You're our improv guy. You're our silly guy. I'm the curmudgeon. You can't count on me to be silly. Well, no, I can be silly.
You can be silly. I'm just going to put the bait out there and let you take it. All right.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's jump into things here. We have Beth Bennett. She goes as Beth Undressed, and she came very highly recommended from BabeStation.tv, our friends across the pond who are running a very long-standing cam network and brand in general for many, many years. So without further ado, Beth, how the hell are you?
I am very well. I'm actually really tired. I just got back from New Zealand, so I'm very jet lagged.
I always wanted to go there.
Well, that's where I'm from. So I'm from New Zealand originally. So I went back for Christmas. I've been back there for the past month, but obviously it's 12 hours ahead. So I'm really.
It's a 12-hour difference?
Yeah, between the UK and New Zealand. Yeah.
I mean, how many hops do you have to make for a flight? I mean,
two stops. Yeah.
Okay. And you want to know what's sad? I've heard so many UK accents. I've heard so many New Zealand ones, Australia, South Africa, and as much of an idiot. And I mean, you know,
they're all the same, aren't they?
They all sound the same to me. And it sucks because I've traveled around the world quite a bit and I should know these things and I don't.
You know what? To me, I'm such an auditory wackadoodle that I can hear the different like inflections in the dialect. I love a New Zealand
because everyone in New Zealand goes up on the end of a sentence, like everything's a question. That's the easiest pick for it, I think. But yeah.
So there's a gentleman on Dax Shepherd's podcast. I think it's called Armchair Something. Anyway, it's a phenomenal podcast. And he's from New Zealand. And I just want to bang him just because I love his voice so much. I have no idea what he looks like. But I'm telling you, when I say auditory wackadoodle, I'm an auditory wackadoodle. If you've got a good voice, you're going to drop my panties. And this guy, it's that New Zealand accent.
Oh, no, I can't stand it.
I don't know. It's like creamy. Isn't that funny? Oh, my goodness. Well, guess what? I'm from Philadelphia. And I absolutely cannot stand my own Philly accent. Mm. I can't stand listening from others because it's kind of derpy.
Yeah, it's
rough. So maybe that's why you feel that way about New Zealand because that's your home. And
yeah, you know. Whenever I hear it, I think it sounds a bit, what's a polite way? Simple. Sounds very simple, very sort of country bumpkin kind of. Whenever I hear it out loud, I'm like, oh, I hope that's not how I sound. So I like to think I've got a bit more of a hybrid accent between the two now.
Well, you probably do at this point.
Both sides.
How did you end up? How did you end up in the UK? I mean, I know a lot of people from, you know, the Southeast and down under and all have, you know, end up all over the place. But like, why the UK? Can you tell us how that happened?
So I finished university and I decided that rather than get a sort of proper job straight away, I'd like to go traveling. And obviously, because New Zealand's part of the Commonwealth, you can come over on a working visa. You can get like a 2-year working visa if you're under 30, I think. And so I did that. And obviously, I didn't come over with the intention of working on Babe Station or anything. I thought I'd come and like work in a pub or something similar. And then I've just not left. But legally, I have a passport now. So I've been
here. We don't want to out you or anything, right?
Now I've been here 10 years. So it's been a fair while, yeah.
Right on. And the whole time you've been camming, have you been with Babe Station?
Yeah. So I came over and I did work in a pub for all of about 2 or 3 weeks. And then I decided that was not for me. So I left that. And then when I was working in the pub, I saw, so BabeStation is a CAM website. I mean, the CAM side of things is bigger now, but when I started, it was mostly TV. And so I was working in the pub and there was a very limited number of TV channels on the little sort of screen that I was watching, and I finished at like 1 a.m. and I was flicking through the TV and then BabeStation came on. And so if you don't know what it is, it's like softcore, not even porn, because it is super softcore. So it's like topless, like girls gyrating and waggling a phone about, basically. And so I saw this, and it's such a bizarre thing to see on free-to-air TV. Like, you wouldn't see it in New Zealand. I don't even know if you'd get something on, like, free TV channeling in America, because you have to be pretty liberal to allow it, because it can get a bit raunchy. And they had a little banner ad along the bottom of the screen that was like, do you think you could be a babe? And it's not the hardest-looking job in the world. I mean, as long as you could sort of move your wrist and, like, have tits, you're pretty much in. So I was like, oh, I reckon I could do that. I could give it a whirl. So I applied, and then, yeah, I've worked there since, basically.
So wait a minute. They, I know it's very different over there. So they, explain the difference again between, like, being the difference between the camming and the TV. You're talking about straight on TV?
So, yeah, so there's two different halves to BabeStation at the moment. There's one half of like our studio and obviously girls at work at home that do like webcam, like the same you'd see on like any webcam site, like a StreamMate kind of thing. And then the TV works. So the girl is on a free-to-air TV. So anyone in the UK that's got TV channel can access it. And then there's a number you call along the bottom of the screen to talk to the girl that's live on screen. So say if you decide to call me, but half a dozen guys have decided to call before you got in because you're all racing to get to the same number. While you wait your turn, you have to listen in to me talking to all those guys. So obviously that's how the money's made, not by the one person you're talking to, but all the people queuing to like wait their turn and get to you. So, yeah.
Well, one thing I got to say, and BabeStation is really good at this, they tend to get really attractive, engaging, professional models.
Right? I've heard that too.
Yeah, I mean, with the few that I've had exchanges with, and we did have somebody on Seat of Your Pants several months ago, they find you, you know, they find you and you stay, and it's obviously working, and there isn't really anything else, you know, like it that I know of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there is, and there are, like, there's loads of us. Like, I've worked there 10 years, there's other people that have been there just as long as me, which it's not usually the kind of industry that people stay like doing the same one thing, you know, for that long. But I mean, if you're good at it, it is a fun job to do because you're talking to new people all the time. It's very safe. It's maybe not as like isolated as camming can feel, like camming from your bedroom, you know, where there's not other people around. We go into the studios, you've got other people to talk to, and there's lots of interaction. So if it is a bit of a like quiet night, or if someone says something that like, you know, offends you or whatever, you've got other people to bounce off, rather than if you're just sitting at home, you can kind of, I guess, wallow in it a bit and be like, oh God, we're done for the night now. So yeah, it's really fun and like supportive. Like it sounds very woke now, but it is a really fun, supportive kind of team. Like, they look out for us. So, yeah.
I mean, it's really a testament that you've been there that long and others have been there that long. This industry is difficult. We know it's, you know, come and go, come and go. We see a lot of people that, you know, we care about, and then tomorrow they're gone. And it's really a testament that to this company and this product and this thing that you all are creating, that people have been there so long. And then additionally, like for me, the pressure of camming, that seems like a huge mountain to me. You know, I envy people who do it and are so good at it. But with what you're talking about, if you're having a night where maybe you're just, you're not on, you know, because being on is so hard. You've got the support, it sounds like, of others. Is that what you're telling me? That's what I thought. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So if you're on TV, you have a cameraman right there. So if you're not, you know, if you don't get a call or if something's not going well, you you've got him. So you're not on constantly. They'll rotate, like a girl will be on screen for like an hour and then someone else will go on and that kind of thing. So yeah, it is a lot. I mean, a lot less pressure than camming, where you kind of feel like if it doesn't go well, that's it, you're done. Like your life's ruined and you may as well like chuck it all in. But yeah.
Yeah, unless you can totally fake it until you make it for the next however many hours. But that's never advisable because you're already in a bad mood. Yeah, it's just going to go downhill from there. So let me ask you, I mean, obviously the landscape and the way of life from where you live now, probably compared to where you lived in New Zealand, are very different. Mm-hmm. You know, do people call you Kiwi? Do you miss your old ways? I mean, quite a culture shock, right?
It is quite a culture shock. So like I said, I've just come back from a month back home. It is lovely. New Zealand's very pretty. I could never live there again because it is so incredibly quiet. I live just outside of London, and I used to live like right in London for probably the first 5 or so years that I lived in the UK. And so I went back to where I'm from, and everything is shut by like 9 o'clock at night. And I do mean literally like everything, restaurants, everything like that. Where I'm from is a big university city. And obviously I was back over the summer, so all the students were gone as well. And it is just silence. It's lovely. I might want to go and retire in New Zealand at some point, but I don't think I could go back to doing it. But I mean, if you sort of are really into the things that New Zealand has to offer, like obviously there's loads of agriculture and loads of farming and the outdoors. And if that's your, you know, thing, then obviously it's a fantastic place.
But you're too young for that shit. Many years.
I am very young.
For that. So, I've only been to the UK twice, I dig it there immensely. It's different. Any kind of new experience that I can travel, you know, I love it. It's pretty
What's
crazy.
What's that downtown London vibe like? How would you both describe that vibe of downtown London?
You go first.
There's so many different parts of London. I don't think you could even sort of pick one, because obviously you've got, I mean, I guess what people would say, like touristy London, like if you go into like Leicester Square and Piccadilly Circus, and like that's what you'd see in like, it's probably the equivalent of going to like Times Square isn't going to New York. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not going to a New York neighborhood where New Yorkers would be. So I guess, or you can like, if it's a bit more alternative, maybe like Camden in London, it's a bit more of a like edgier scene, and there's a lot more rock clubs there and a lot more people with like piercings and everything. But London is so diverse and such a mixture of people and everything like that. Like that's what I really enjoy about it.
Well, I'll give my couple of takeaways from London. It's been years, but one of the big ones is that it's literally like 200 microcosms within a huge spread out area. I mean, it's like, you know, you look at New York City, you look at Philadelphia, for example. I mean, you've got, you know, your main areas, and then you've got lots of outskirts and stuff. Like people, you know, if they want to go into Manhattan, that's one thing. Or if they want to go into, you know, Broad Street or whatever in Philadelphia, that's another thing. But in London, you've got so much. It's just, it's so massive. It's hard to explain it. So that's one thing. My other takeaway is that people just don't like giving you eye contact there. I mean, I will be on the tube. I will be walking through Hyde Park. I don't know what it is. But,
like,
you know,
an aloofness towards one another?
Something like that. Or maybe just fear that, you know, what's this crazy wild-eyed American doing looking at me?
I mean, that's definitely part of it. Nothing is worse than when people try and talk to you on the tube. Like, no, like you die inside. As soon as you lock eyes with someone, you're like, oh, God, I hope they didn't. Because nothing is worse than being stuck in sort of close proximity in conversation with a stranger, and we're like, can't wait.
Well,
to
it's funny
off.
Because when I arrived, I'm like, you know what? I was staying near, I was staying north of what's that main wide park that's right in the middle? Oh, God, what the hell is the name of it? It's not near, it's between Paddington Station and the park itself. Is it Hyde Park?
No, Hyde Park, Hyde Park.
It is? Okay. So I was staying over there. So it was about a good 45 minute tube ride from Heathrow to there. Yeah, I insisted on doing it. I'm like, I'm taking the tube. I'm going to do
this. Oh, no, you know? Not with the suitcase. Oh, no.
Oh, I did it all. I didn't care.
You're the worst.
Did not care. Yeah, did not care. And I'm like looking at people, and everybody just like, you know, they got the stare and everything like that. They're just not looking, you know, it's like blinded.
Headphones
like
on.
Looking around. Yeah. Hey, what's up? You know, and people are just like, you know, not sure what to make of this
asshole.
Guy. But
American asshole.
And didn't care. I just, you know, I put it this way. The vast majority of all great music, great TV, great entertainment in general comes from the UK. I mean, you know, people are going to fight me on this, but I don't care. Some of the best freaking stuff ever. I mean, the best bands that ever existed, the Beatles, Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, The Who, all
the
from
Office.
The UK. And The Office,
The Usual
Office. It's great shit, you know? I mean, do you feel the same way, or is that just like an American who has never experienced it, you know? What do you think?
I would say the UK just is a bit cooler than America. No offense, but America's quite like, I can't think how to, it's just a bit edgier, and it's just, America's very mainstream and everything's quite like family friendly. Yeah, exactly. And I wouldn't say the UK is like ridiculously liberal or anything, because it's definitely not, but it definitely has more of that feeling, rather than, I think the US comes across as a bit more uptight, maybe.
You know what surprises me? I shouldn't say a lot.
Say it.
But.
Say it.
I'm so fucking horrified at the British media, tabloidy-ish sector of media over there.
Oh, yeah. And you should be.
Brutality, the cutthroat, the lying, the cutthroatedness. It's just like, and I understand as human beings, like we all, a lot of us really want that stuff. But that always has surprised me about the UK, because a lot of times you think of, you know, you got the royal family, and there's this, at the top of this hierarchy of society is this stuffy properness. But yeah. Then the media is like,
brutal.
Bonkers.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. Like junkyard dogs off a leash. They're bonkers.
They're brutal, right? Over there. You've never been covered in any of these tabloids before,
no,
have you?
No. I would snake away from that as fast as I could. But yeah, they are. But I guess, I mean, I don't know what the reasoning behind it is, because yeah, they are quite caustic. I mean, I guess maybe part of it is just that, like, we have a smaller population, so there's like less people to report on, and so you're going to go in harder because there's less like little fluffy things you can write about, like a whole group of people. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we're just meaner. We might just be meaner.
I think so.
Meaner people. Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, maybe a little bit more aggressive over there too.
Yeah.
Just to switch
I don't
gears
know. I would sort of fit in over there. I mean, you're talking about curmudgeonly people. Like, it's made for me. Curmudgeonly people that are riding the tube. Don't fucking look at me. Don't talk to me. Do not look at me. Like, that's perfect for me. The cutthroatedness and the brutalness. And then you got sexy girls on TV. Like, come on. That's like
the best of
my ideal society. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to switch gears?
Well, I just wanted to switch gears a little bit, actually. I mean, do you prefer to go by Beth Undressed or Beth Bennett?
Beth Bennett. Yeah.
So why the Undressed? Or is that something you're trying to shake? Or is that something that's part of your game? I want to hear your hustle.
I didn't make it up. So years and years ago, I had a photographer I was working with that would shoot like custom videos and videos for me. And he was the partner of a girl that I worked with. And he wanted to make a website for me. It was all very, looking back, it's not the best, and like, I won't name anyone, but and he came up with the Beth Undressed thing. So he bought the domain name for that, I think, and then my Twitter name became that, and I just haven't changed it. And it is the worst as well, because obviously I have to spell it out over the phone to people, and with my accent, E sound like I's, and we have this horrible quote, and they're saying, Beth what? And I'm like, yeah. So no, Beth Bennett is much easier. Everyone can spell it. And I should really probably change my Twitter handle to that. But yeah.
Well,
but I'm always naked. That's where the undress part came from.
Yeah, I suppose. Constantly. But I'm having absolutely zero issue understanding you. I mean, you're completely understandable. In fact, it's funny. You actually sound like one of the lead characters on the TV show Wentworth. And I know that that's like...
Which one?
Australian.
Which?
I can't remember. The one who played...
I love that show.
The one who played... Oh, God, what was her name? I can't remember the show, but she played the main person in charge, but she was the little one. I can't remember her name.
Yes. Like the top dog? They called her the top dog?
No, she was one of the prison staff.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And she got pregnant as well.
Yep, I know exactly who you're talking about.
But
I can't think of her name. Can't think of her character.
Old and senile, I tend to forget everything.
Well, you know what? That does sort of sound like her a little bit. Yeah, I can hear that for sure. Do you guys watch that show? I mean, it's...
I haven't, no.
Oh,
is it a prison thing?
Yeah, it's like our Orange is the New Black, but...
But better, way better.
Way better.
So tell us, I guess, you know, I want to kind of explore some territory to find out more about you, Beth. I mean, what kind of things are you into? What do you like to do when you're not camming and titillating the masses?
Like real life. So I am a big fan of traveling. I love to travel. I love country music. It's wildly uncool. Oh yeah, I love country music. So, and obviously it's not massive over here. So I've gone to the States quite a few times, and like I went to Nashville and it's fantastic. I love it. Like everything like that. I read a lot. I'm very boring. I have two dogs who like I love.
Yeah, and
I'm
dogs.
I'm married, so I have my husband who comes second to the dogs, obviously. And then that is my life essentially.
Nothing boring about that. We always want to find out the person behind the character. You know, country music. Wow. I mean, are we talking like Garth Brooks, you know, Dixie Chicks? Are we talking old school, like Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, stuff like that?
About a bit of like outlaw country, but probably more like modern, like country rock, like Whiskey Myers, bands like the kind of the music you would hear on the Yellowstone soundtrack is that kind of country vibe, like more sort of indie country, like not 90s country, like not a Luke Bryan kind of thing. He's great, but not my particular jam.
That show has just like exploded, I guess, across the world. I know it's very, very popular here, but if you're watching it,
yeah,
I mean, is it popular over there too?
I think it's quite big. It's definitely like on all the big. It's on Amazon. I think it streams on here. So yeah, it's a big show.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's one of my favorite shows because I see it, and I don't know if a lot of people see it this way, but especially the earlier seasons and episodes, there is an undercurrent of like a love letter to horses on this show. Like the writer, I think he grew up, you know, on a farm and with horses, and it just paints a very lovely picture of who horses are, and I think a lot of people. Especially a lot of people in our industry, because we're all such animal lovers, like that about that show.
Definitely.
Jay, have you watched?
No, you know, it's funny. I was at the gym. Was I at the gym or where did I see it? Again, I can't remember shit because I'm senile, but I did see like about a half an hour episode. So it might've been on the treadmill at the gym or maybe it was on an airplane. I can't remember, but it looked interesting. And I remember it was like one scene where someone was trying to reclaim some land or something like that. And they were going to this attorney. And the whole thing just did not go well. And I'm like, oh, this is Yellowstone. This is what everyone's talking about. So I haven't watched any of that, but, you know, I'm going to. I mean, at some point I will watch it. It looks interesting. And hearing this makes it, you know, hearing from you two, it's like, yeah, sure. I'll give it a shot.
So Beth, which character, if you had to say – like, which character do you relate to the most?
I have
on
to go with my, no, I'm not going to go with my namesake because she's mental, isn't she?
Like, right?
Beth is a bit crazy. I don't know. I don't know who I'd say I relate to the most. I mean, she would be my favorite, but I wouldn't like to say I relate to her. I'm not quite that intense.
Like, you know, those tests, like, which character,
which one are you?
Which character are you? Which one are you? So maybe a little bit Beth.
A little bit Beth, maybe. Ooh, who else? I don't know.
Because they all sort of got their shit, don't they?
Like, yeah.
No, everybody's messed up.
No one is living the easy life there, are they? No.
Well, no good TV show has the characters with their shit together. So
Right.
So where are some of the other places that you traveled? Have you been like extensively throughout the U.S. before? You were in Nashville. Have you ever been to any other major
I've
places?
I've gone Nashville. I did Dallas and Fort Worth, Vegas, L.A., Miami, Orlando, so New York a lot as well. So I've seen a fair bit, but I'm going back again to see some more country music in April. So yeah,
very nice.
But I really like America. I really like traveling around America. I don't quite feel brave enough to drive on the other side of the road. So not for me. But
well, I live in that other music capital. Nashville is definitely the country music capital of the United States. I live in Austin, Texas.
Oh,
which
fantastic.
Is basically the live. Yeah, it's the live music capital.
I was meant to go to Austin. I was meant to go to Austin because we were going to go and watch the Grand Prix, the Austin Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah.
But then they didn't quite, this was COVID, the end of COVID times, and they didn't quite let us UK residents in. So I haven't gone to Austin just yet, but it's definitely on my list. Yeah.
Circuit of Americas.
Yeah, that's the one.
And South by Southwest.
Yeah, South by Southwest is going to be happening in about, what are we, mid-January, less than 2 months. I'll never forget 3 years ago. When they literally canceled South by Southwest days before it was supposed to start.
Right.
Days before. This is a festival that brings $500 million to the Central Texas economy. And, you know, I was like not on board with any of this COVID shit. I'm like, this is bullshit. Whatever, you know.
And right. It's like, and then wait a minute. Happened.
They're like, they're canceling South by Southwest now, like literally 3 days before. Okay, maybe this is serious.
Yeah. That's where we all went. Oh shit, we're in deep doo doo here. Yeah. They're canceling South by Southwest. I think that event went sort of slapped everybody here, and we all went, "Oh shit, this really is serious."
Well, it's funny. Ever since I moved to Texas, because I've always been one of these people, it's like I hate country music. I'll never listen to country music. Blah blah this that whatever. But you know, in the almost 20 years that I've been in Texas, I mean, before I moved here, I was definitely into stuff like Hank Williams. And some of the really old school stuff, old Johnny Cash. But, you know, ever since I've been here, I've warmed up to it a little bit. And I've met a lot of people that listen to it. That's like, that's their thing. So, by default.
It is super easy listening, though, country. Country makes like lovely background music to your day rather than, you know. It's easy.
I was at the dentist office the other day and they were playing all pop country. I'm like, you know, it's like, it's not offensive.
Exactly. It's so wildly inoffensive. Like, it's just pleasant. It's, yeah.
Well, what do you think about, like, all the different American cuisine? Did you have barbecue? Did you have any of that other good stuff?
I mean, no, so I'm a vegetarian. just not well catered to, largely, in the US. Definitely nowhere near, like, that's another thing. England is, like, obviously, because we're really multicultural, especially, like, London, not obviously everywhere. But, yeah, you guys love animals.
Especially in the, like, country circles. Mm-hmm. Like, those country circles, they're all about
There is a lot of barbecue and a lot of various animals to eat. But
air battered.
I did not partake.
Right. What,
yeah. So no, there's not really, I don't know. What do you count as like American cuisine? Because I just think fast food if I think of like American food. Because like if you think of like the English, I guess you have like roast dinners and that kind of stuff, but I don't think of any one thing. Like I guess like your holiday food would be what I think of, maybe like pumpkin pie and that kind of thing. No one else does that. But
Well, I will be the first to say that the best food in general that you're going to find across the board is going to be in Vegas, because
oh, I love Vegas. Yeah.
Everyone competing. I mean, yes, you're going to have great food in New Orleans, great food in New York, great food in San Francisco, et cetera, et cetera. But it all just converges in Vegas, and you can find anything and everything there. And you've been to Vegas.
Yeah, I love
you've
it.
You've experienced it. Yeah. It's there's no city quite like it.
Obviously. No, it is. It is a fantastic place.
Do you gamble?
I play slot machines, but I'm a very tame gambler. And I'm one of these people, I'll put my $20 in and then I'll get like slightly up and I'll be like, well, I'll cash out now because I haven't lost anything and we're done and I've had my fun. And then I'll do it in another machine. If I get slightly up, I'll cash out again. And that's how my, so I'm not a risky gambler by any stretch of the imagination. But
smart.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically how I do it. I don't play the machines or anything. Maybe I'll play a little bit of blackjack. Maybe I'll play a little bit of poker. As soon as I double up, I mean, if I go from 40 to 80 bucks.
Yeah. Like, why would I keep risking it?
Right. Exactly.
So I want to ask, which we ask a lot of our guests, how did you, I think I sort of have an idea based on what you said, but how did you parlay into this work and then decide like this is the work for me? Like, I understand you were working at the bar and you saw them on the television, but when did you sort of commit and go, this is the work for me? And what sort of made you feel like, did you feel like this is the fit, this is for me? Because a lot of folks aren't cut out for like a 9 to 5.
Yeah,
or
no.
Like that. So I'd love to hear about that.
I mean, so I went to university. I have my 2 degrees and everything. And when I was at university, I worked as a stripper as well because,
oh, okay.
Well, not accidentally. So it's a bit of a story. Growing up, I was really into like a theatre and like musicals and everything like that, right? So I am old enough to the point where newspapers were still a thing that you got delivered every day. Like, they're kind of becoming a bit obsolete now. But anyway, so I was about 20 and I wasn't living at home, but I lived in the same city as my mum. And she called me up and she was like, oh, there's an ad in the paper and they're looking for dancers. And usually it was for like shows, like local, like amateur dramatic kind of things. So I was like, oh, okay. And it's an ad in the back of the paper, very ambiguously, just dancers wanted. I don't know if my mother is just an innocent or whatever. But so I called them up and they were like, they named sort of the place that it was. And it was the one strip club that's in the city that I'm from. And I was like, oh, no, I think there's been a miscommunication. No, thank you very much. And then I told my friends about this funny story about how my mother inadvertently tried to like pimp me out. And we were like, oh, hilarious. Nice. And then we were like, well, we've never been, because we were girls and we were only about 20. And we're like, we've never been. And we were students, so we were also poor. So we were like, well, I know girls get in free there, so we should definitely go along to start our night at the weekend. And we went along to the strip club and it just looked easy and the girls just like weren't that great, and I just stood there and I watched and I was like, I could definitely do this and I could do it much better, so I'll get a job there. So I did. So I started working there, and I worked there for ages while I was at uni, so about 4 or 5 years I think. And then when I came, because I'd done that and I didn't really have a drive as to what I wanted to do like career wise like I did a Bachelor of Arts and then I did a commerce degree in marketing management. And I thought, like, maybe I'll work in like brand management or something like that, or maybe human resourcing, something. And I didn't really, but it's not something that you're particularly like driven about. And I sort of did like interviews and the pay was going to be really horrible to be an intern and everything like that. And I was like, and so I kept working as a stripper, and obviously that's great money and it's easy. And so I was like, no, I have to stop this because I'll just keep getting like sort of cycled into it. I should really get a proper job. And that was why I decided to come to England, because I was like, right, I'll get a, because New Zealand's also quite small because there's not a huge amount of opportunities. And because I hadn't really done too much other work, so I was like, I'll go to the UK. And even if it's not like a career-based job, I'll do other work so that I can come back to New Zealand and I'll have things on a CV. And then hopefully by that point, I'll have made a decision about what I would like to do. Obviously, I didn't do that. I instead went to Babe Station. And I was like, do you know what? I like doing this. Like, this suits me. I'm good at it. There is, like, I know obviously different people have different ideas about what is socially acceptable, and like some people don't want to do that kind of work. My parent, like my father's passed away, but my mum is like completely cool with it. She's always like, I told her when I first started, I was like, oh, I've got this. My mother's a bit older. I emailed her and I was like, I've got this like job on this thing called Babe Station. It's a TV channel. And she was like, oh, okay, that's fine, blah, blah, blah. And she wrote back. And then obviously my brother, who was a bit younger, must have come along and she must have told him, and he Googled, which she didn't think to do. And then the next email was like, oh, so it's porn. And I was like, well, technically it's not actually, so you're wrong. But she's fine with it. So I'm fine with it. I mean, yeah, so that's why I've just stuck with it. And like, it's, I mean, it's money that would be hard to match in another job. And it's, yeah, it's just, if I enjoy it and I'm good at it, why would I not do it? And obviously it's a bit stigmatized, but because it's stigmatized, that's why it pays better. So I don't want everyone to become accepting of it, because then everyone will feel that they can do it and then the pay will go down. So if everyone keeps being a bit prudish about it, that would be for the best for me financially. But
plus, isn't it just somewhat empowering as well to know that, you know, you're doing something that's a little taboo, and it kind of makes people a little bit uneasy, and, you know, it gives you that extra edge.
Oh, definitely. And people are so curious about it too. Like, as soon as they sort of, they're like, ooh, all kinds of questions about, like, what do you call a say and everything like that. And like, you do, I know it sounds like it's like a stock answer, but you do meet really interesting, not meet, but like talk to really interesting people. And I've had callers that have been like my same caller since I started. So they've hung around for like 10 years. So it's, you know, yeah.
It seems like it's very well suited for you. And a lot of adult work is suited for people who have that part of themselves that's very theatrical. I mean, Jay, for instance, you know, he did television shows and he was in LA and, you know, working on an acting career. And you'll find a lot of people in the business that, you know, that's sort of who they are, rather than, you know, this corporate type of personality, yeah, like that 9 to 5, you know, it allows you to access creative. This business definitely demands, you know, improvisation and creativity.
Massively,
and accessing,
yeah,
right, you know, artistic and creative parts of ourselves. So, I mean, it seems like you were just suited for this type of work anyway. And then, you know, if you're loving it and you're fulfilled, like, that's, yeah, a home run, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just know, you know, you're in the right spot and, you know, you're built for it. I mean, you know,
I look down and I'm like,
yeah, holy shit, am I built for it, you know?
I was wondering when we were going to get around to talking about your dick.
I just feel like, you know, I've been slacking.
Segue into it, though, wasn't it?
Thank you. I just feel like I've been slacking this whole episode. You know, I mean, we've been mostly serious. I haven't been peppering things with my juvenile bullshit. So, you know, I figured by minute 38 I was due.
You squeaked one out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. So. See? So I gotta ask you, Beth. So, like, what do you have in store for this year as far as your travels or anything that you can give our listeners and your fans sort of some insight into?
What am I gonna get up to this year? So obviously I'm gonna keep working on Babe Station. I'm gonna keep working on my OnlyFans. I have trips coming up just for fun, not for work, to America a couple of times. I'm off to New York for my birthday in a few months, so that'll be fun. I don't like to plan too far ahead. I like to just go with the flow of whatever comes up and whatever new opportunities present themselves, I'll always try something different. So who knows?
That's good that you're not so rigid and that you have a pretty open schedule like that, that you can do that.
Yeah, no, it is good. It is good. So sort of whatever takes my fancy, I will dabble in.
And if you're in Texas, you know, you can always connect with Jay. Exactly. Jay can connect you with a lot of people in our industry over here in the United States.
It's true.
You know, it's funny. I host a sex worker happy hour here in Austin every month. You know, it attracts about a dozen people. It's just, you know, industry only, you know, and I've already introduced people that I can tell are going to be lifelong friends. And it's, you know, it's a great thing. I'm actually doing one in Dallas in a few weeks. And I've got people hitting me up from Arkansas and from other points. Yeah, it's crazy. They're like, I want to go. And I'm like, I would never expect you to make that trip.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally a 6-hour thing. We get together at 6 o'clock and maybe we go till midnight, maybe till 2. I don't know. But it's just a one night thing. And again, there'll be about a dozen of us there. And there's quite a few cam models that I'm friends with that are on Chatterbait that are going to be there, oftentimes with their significant others. And, you know, it's just, it's a great thing. So, yeah, it's crazy how people are, I'll drive 5 hours. I'm like, really? Really? This?
It's dedication. Okay.
It tells you we need more of that then. We need more. And like Rebecca Love has the karaoke, you know, we need more of that. Like social outside of work, just the human beings that we are, but with our like-minded folks, we need more of that. That's what that tells you.
Yeah, I get a lot of people asking me to do karaoke. Do you sing karaoke at all, Beth?
No, I haven't done in years. I used to. I've done it on occasion. I've dabbled. Yeah.
Wait a minute. My dog is in the other room barking. So, but it's not time yet. Usually when my dogs start barking, it's a good sign.
Well,
that,
we've been 45 minutes, right?
Not quite. But I do actually want to give Beth an opportunity. Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, he's in there barking. It's just like, dude, shut the hell up. Jesus Christ. So, Beth, what are the best ways that fans, current and yet to be, can discover your magic on the internet? Where are they going to find you?
Gosh, all over the internet. I am everywhere. So obviously, Babe Station, if they want to see me live, so we're on... Babe Station have the TV channel if you're in the UK. It's broadcast on the Babe Station website, so babestation.tv if you're not in the UK. Although to call up there, I think you'd still have to have a UK number, but you can still watch and you can still write in the little chat box thing. Babe Station have a separate webcam site called Babe Station Cams. So that's like one-on-one, like private and group shows. There's no free chat on that, so you'd have to be paying to see anything. I broadcast on StreamMate as well, so I'm on StreamMate every now and then. OnlyFans, I have an OnlyFans page, which is Beth Undressed. I'm in a couple of Brazzers scenes if they want to check out some harder stuff. And I'm an extra in like dozens and dozens of Brazzers scenes. If they want to see my acting expertise and like, you know, pushing along a plot line, that's always a favorite. But yeah.
Are you credited as Beth Bennett or Beth Undressed in Brazzers scenes?
Beth Bennett.
Beth Bennett. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. And then, of course, people can find you on Twitter as Beth Undressed.
Beth Undressed. Yeah. That is the only one. I no longer have an Instagram. That was long gone in whatever color. Oh. Not worth the effort to make it again. But
yeah, Instagram is so famous for just zapping accounts and just, you know, crushing dreams. And the thing that sucks about it is that they actually, if you do it right, you can get really good traffic from Instagram.
Yeah.
So,
they are harsh. I didn't even get a warning. One day I just woke up and my page was gone. I was like,
that happened to one of my accounts as well. Yeah, fuck Instagram, assholes. So let me ask you this before we part ways here. Do you have anything else that you would like to plug, Beth, or anything that, you know, we didn't ask you? Or maybe Kai has a question that she didn't get an opportunity to ask.
No, no, I'm good. Yeah, I want to let our listeners know where they can find her and plug anything she has upcoming.
I mean, I think I have sold everything. Twitter is it? Twitter is my only social media that I interact with, because that's the only one that hasn't like deleted everyone. So I mean, Elon probably will sooner or later, but while it's still going. So yeah, Beth Undressed on Twitter. I'm probably shadow banned, so you probably have to go to Google and write in Beth Undressed and find a link that way, because putting my name in, I'm sure, won't work. But yeah, that's where I update everything that I do and have links to everything that I do, and all kinds of, because I do all kinds of fetishy stuff. I do wrestling and giantess videos, and I work for a whole bunch of different websites. So fingers in many pies. Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
So, excellent. All right, well, there you have it, folks. Beth Bennett, a.k.a. Beth Undressed, was our fantastic guest on this episode of Seat of Your Pants. And I want to thank you very much, Beth, for joining us this episode.
Thank you for having me.
Until next time, my lovely Mistress Kai, it was great seeing you as well. So thank
great
you, everyone.
To see you.
And we will see you again next time on another episode of Seat of Your Pants.